Hello and welcome, and thank you for joining us again today. This is your host, Brother T. Glad to be back with you, and I'm joined with my beautiful wife, Reverend A. Good morning.
Good morning.
So wonderful to have you here.
Great to be here.
Absolutely. We're going to be discussing Lesson 7 in A Course in Miracles workbook. And if you're curious, we use the Course in Miracles Society edition of A Course in Miracles. It's the black book with a pearl on the cover. And it's considered to be the Urtex version, which means that it's the original transcript and nothing was removed from it. We're going to be talking about Lesson 7 today, I See Only the Past. And before we do, let's join together for a brief moment of silence. Let's take a good deep breath. I see only the past. This idea is particularly difficult to believe at first, yet it is the
rationale.
We'll start over. I'm going to read down through the first seven, then I'll let you do number eight.
All right.
Okay. I see only the past. This idea is particularly difficult to believe at first, yet is the rationale for all of the preceding ones. It is the reason why nothing that you see means anything. It is the reason why you have given everything you see all the meaning that it has for you. It is the reason why you do not understand anything you see. It is the reason why your thoughts do not mean anything and why they are like the things you see. It is the reason why you're never upset for the reason you think. It is the reason why you are upset because you see something that's not there.
Old ideas about time are very difficult to change because everything you believe is rooted in time and depends on your not learning these new ideas about it. Yet that is precisely why you need new ideas about time. This first time idea is not really so strange as it may sound at first. Look at a cup, for example.
Do you see a cup, or are you merely reviewing your past experiences of picking up a cup, being thirsty, drinking from a cup, feeling the rim of a cup against your lips, having breakfast, and so on? Are not your aesthetic reactions to the cup, too, based on past experiences? How else would you know whether or not this kind of cup will break if you drop it? What do you know about this cup, except what you learned in the past? You would have no idea what this cup is except for your past learning. Do you then really see it?
Look about you. This is equally true of whatever you look at. Acknowledge this by applying the idea for today indiscriminately to whatever catches your eye. For example, I see only the past in this pencil. I see only the past in this shoe. I see only the past in this hand. I see only the past in that body. I see only the past in that face.
Do not linger over any one thing in particular, but remember to omit nothing specifically. Glance briefly at each subject and then move on to the next. I see only the past. And so it is. Let's join together again for a brief moment of silence. And then we'll have a little discussion and consider this amazing lesson. Let's take a good deep breath. Just five words. I see only the past. It's hard to imagine that five words can change your life. But when you begin to learn this new language of truth, it puts everything that we've learned from the conditioned mind, I like to call it the world, and what the ego, the thought system of fear, if you will, has relentlessly tried to keep us loyal to these ideas of fear and guilt. And I think it's interesting now he's bringing time into our discussion the construct of the physical world and all of the mutually agreed upon definitions that we have, that we engage with each other throughout the day in our society and whatever society that may be, in our work life, in our spiritual life, in our family life. All of these conditioned, mutually agreed upon definitions provide a structure that help us feel, quote unquote, safe in a world that is literally attempting to keep us in a fearful state of mind. You don't have to look too far in our media today or in our world events today to see and recognize that fear is definitely the foundation of the messaging. So we are considering here in this Course of Miracles, we are considering a new thought system. And we like to refer to it as a new language because it's a lot like a new language. We were talking about it this morning at breakfast, how when you're learning a new language, you'll know that you've really kind of adopted it and mastered it when you begin to think in that language instead of having to translate it back to your former language. So at this point, Jesus is teaching us to see our old language from a new vantage point. We're not really getting into any deep discussion, not yet at least, about the new language, but we are given an opportunity to see our way of being, our conditioned thinking, our thought system that is literally in opposition or the reverse of what we call true thought, the thought system of God, the thought system of love. And at first, it's a little startling. And he even mentions again time here, because at some point, we're going to really examine time and whether or not time is actually a construct of mind or it's something that's actually real. And we do see it in a linear fashion, going from the past to the future. And that's very instructive and helpful because Jesus is teaching us by using the very things that keep us kind of imprisoned, if you will, in a false thought system. He uses those things that are familiar with us or familiar to us so that we can begin to see the contrast as well as begin to see how we have become conditioned to accept these as our reality. So when I say, or we say, I see only the past, and whatever we're looking around at in our space today, out this window in this room, wherever you may be, if you didn't have some quick reference, it's actually unconscious. I think someone told me it's something like 1/10,000th of a second. Our mind jumps to, we don't even think. In other words, it's cybernetic. It's automatic. It's unconscious. And we can look around the room and identify every object because we've given everything all the meaning and the naming of what those things are. So as I see you sitting in your chair today, Reverend A, right? I know that it's a chair because it has a history that I'm familiar with. And I know that being labeled as a chair also refers to a history that I learned and conditioned to accept when I was much, much younger.
Right. Right. And it can feel very disconcerting to think, well, it really saves time for you to know that's a chair and what its purpose is based upon the past. It, you know, you mentioned the mutually agreed upon definitions. And so, you know, it definitely seems to be beneficial in our world to calculate and judge everything from history and from the past. I mean, we are doing it all the time and we're conditioned to do that because it saves time and we don't want to make the same mistakes. You know, I'm thinking of like history, you know, like why it's important to know history, why it's important to gauge everything based upon the past in our culture and in our way of being conditioned in this world. So it can be really disconcerting to understand why it might be important to look at a cup or a chair and begin to release the past from it, well, what does that serve anything? How does that, you know, save time? How does that help my consciousness grow? And I mean, you know, there's so much tied into this that will be discussed and is discussed in the text, you know, about the value of memory. Well, what memory is it that we are engaging? Is it the memory of the ego mind, or is it our true memory of, you know, being restored to our awareness as being the truth of who we are, you know? So it really is a cornerstone exercise, I would say. Now, what I can say from my own experience is, what does it matter? Well, what it has mattered in my life is that being able to play with and apply this lesson in subsequent ones is that it does bring peace and freedom. It does catapult me into a trust and awareness of the nowness of the spiritual system, the now, you know, that it is in this holy instant that that I lean into, that actually frees me from a past of judgment and unforgiveness. So I'm kind of, you know, previewing what's to come a little bit and how helpful this is. As always, I've been saying every day to just trust the process, do the lessons, and suspend even judgment of the lessons. There are probably people who might listen to this who have been like, well, I've tried this in the past, even just like this lesson and this course, and you know, maybe got to day, you know, 45 and just wasn't getting it. And I think I was one of those people in the beginning. I would try, you know, to do this and abort, you know, abort the project, you know, before it was completed. And I'm just like, hang tight, stay the course, which is what my beloved T always says. And anything you want to comment on what I shared?
I mean, it's really tempting. I just want to launch into conversation about it. But, you know, that's the thing about, you know, letting the genie out of the bottle. You can't get her back in there.
Did I let the genie out of the bottle?
No, you didn't. But I want to.
I know.
It's tempting.
It is tempting.
Because there's so much that this lesson opens.
So what's the simple nugget then? What's the, you know, I see only the past. What is the simple nugget of instruction or insight, and perhaps something connected with the text or, you know, that?
Well, you know, I was thinking about, there was a movie that I watched. I think I watched it a couple of times, but it was basically about this woman who had an accident and she couldn't remember.
50 First Dates.
Yes.
I love that movie.
It was great. It's fun, love, and had a lot of character.
Yeah.
A lot of character. But she couldn't remember. So every day, her family and ultimately her husband and lover and boyfriend, however that all developed, because when he met her, she already had this issue. But he would familiarize her with her past because she couldn't remember. She could only remember certain things up to a certain point. You know, yeah, she knew what a cup and a pen and a chair was, but she couldn't remember her past.
But every day she had to fall in love with him again.
So, yeah, so like, because she didn't remember him.
Right.
Every day. So he was trying to help her to remember or to fall. Yeah, and as you say, to fall in love with her again. So we absolutely value our ability to memorize. Otherwise, we would be lost pretty much every day, or at least that's the way it appears. But I just want to interject a thought for conversation purposes, just for introspection, for your own thought process. You had a dream last night. What was it?
I don't remember.
And why is it not important to you then?
Because it doesn't matter.
Because it's just an illusion.
Yeah.
It was just a dream. And we are learning that what we believe is our reality is a limited version of what our real reality is. And when we begin to get in touch with that aspect of us, just like when we wake up in the morning, the sleeping self is not aware that we're safe at home in bed and unaware of our life, really, of our issues and our work and maybe even where we're sleeping at. We wake up and, oh, well, I'm in a different town today, whatever it might be. But that self, we could say, is the knowing self compared to the sleeping self. What we're learning here in A Course in Miracles, and we'll get into it a little deeper as we move along, is that there is an aspect of us that we will say is the true self, the awakened self. Another way of seeing that mind is to say it's the mind of knowing. And that self is not distracted by illusions and the illusory idea of things that are just temporary, here today, gone tomorrow. And it knows the all of all. It knows what reality really is. And so this work is to not give up the task and to stay the course, because ultimately we begin to get in touch with that self. Just like we wake up from a dream at night, we begin to get in touch with our true self. Mm-hmm. And that self then begins to form us of our reality. Mm-hmm. And it far exceeds what our limited thinking self is capable of grasping. So that's kind of the nugget underlying, and we've talked a lot, right? We've already kind of let the genie out of the bottle. But the point is that it's fun to consider these conversations because it's really important for us to know ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the whole point of our ministry.
That's the whole point of our ministry.
True thought, discover you.
That's right.
The true you.
So today we go forth and we practice to remember, I see only the past. And so it is. God bless you, mighty companion. Thank you for hanging out with us today. Stay the course.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send